talk about what we are now if we've received Christ. Then saved from sin, saved from death, saved from hell and the grave. Amen? Amen. And we're saved to serve Jesus and to know Jesus and to live in joy and peace. Praise God. Let's turn once again in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. I know we've been in this portion of Scripture for many weeks, but there's so much here, we just can't pass by it. Especially in this topic that we're talking about. In fact, I initially was going to entitle this message Christianity's four-letter word, which is patience. No, I wasn't going to do that. But it's something that we don't like to talk about. It's something that none of us really want, because our old nature doesn't want to have anything to do with this thing. And I dare say there are many, I won't say most, because I'm not the judge of the heart of any man or woman who knows Jesus. But I do believe there are many people who refuse to grow in this very important stepping stone to being a person of Christian maturity and Christian love, that being patience. But let's read our text this morning as we prepare to worship God through the preaching and teaching of His Word this morning. For this very reason, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus to know you and to worship you, O God, and to receive from your Holy Spirit, not just as we're gathered this morning, but each and every day. And dear God, this morning, as we've gathered ourselves together to worship you, we would ask your Holy Spirit would continue to move upon our hearts and lives by opening up our hearts and our spirits to your truth, specifically your truth regarding patience this morning. We love you and we thank you, Lord. And we worship you today as we look to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Patience. You may not want it, but as we see, actually in the world, even if you didn't know Jesus, patience would be something that you would need if you were to have any semblance of happiness or success in the world. An impatient man or an impatient woman will always be frustrated and always be left wanting in their life. And how much more so is it for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, this series of messages deals with the building blocks of love, or the stepping stone of love. These next things that we're talking about, patience, godliness, and kindness. There is no way you and I can expect to be people of divine love if we try to skip these very, very important parts. In fact, do not we, as we read 1 Corinthians 13, commonly referred to as the love chapter, do we not read in those verses, I think, verse 3 of chapter 13, I might be mistaken, love is both patient and love is kind? Well, how then can we expect to be loving people if we're not patient people, or as we'll talk about next week, godly and kind people? It is impossible. And so it's important that we allow patience if I could use the terminology or the phraseology from the Word of God, we need to allow patience to have its perfect work done within us. As I mentioned before, patience is something that everyone needs, but unfortunately not everyone obtains. In fact, not only does not everyone who knows Jesus obtain patience, there are many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are impatient. Some people will not cooperate with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God moves and works in their lives and allow the Spirit of God to form patience within them. And when I say that, of course, this wonderful attribute, this wonderful characteristic, this wonderful measure of maturity, that being patience, is something that we should strive for, but you and I need to understand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that you and I will have a breakthrough of patience in our lives is as we allow the Holy Spirit to work and move within us, to change our hearts, to take away the impatience of our flesh, and to fill us with the godly virtue and godly with the Holy Spirit and the power to become patient people. Boy, that was a mouthful, and I apologize for cramming all of that in as far as the introduction this morning. Last week we began, because this is such an important topic, we need to be patient and kind of go through it. But it's such an important topic that we just can't kind of breeze through it. We talked about what patience is, and it's that endurance or steadfastness or constancy, consistency, as it relates to anything, but especially our faith. We talked about how we had like a 3-point definition as it relates to our relationship with Jesus. It's the ability of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to wait on God and to wait upon His timing for His purposes to be done both in our lives, our family, our church, and in our country. Now, I didn't share this last week, but I feel prompted to share this with you this week. Many of us are impatient with the working of the Lord Jesus Christ in our country. In fact, how many are frustrated at the lack of revival in the U.S. of A? And my hand will first shoot up. Our country seems to be drifting farther and farther away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the things, some of the ideologies that our country is embracing is anything but God's perfect way and God's perfect truth. And we wonder, I don't know about you, but I know when we pray together on Sunday evenings, we pray as the prophets of old, how long, God, will it be before you show your glory, your might, your salvation, your deliverance? Well, friend, don't give up hope and don't lose the faith and keep patient. And this is why we need to keep patience. God is still on the throne. And God still loves the United States of America. And God still loves the world. Nothing about John 3:16 has changed. And even though we don't like what our country is going through, God's going to use it to bring about a great revival in this nation. In fact, I'm believing God for a third great awakening. I know there's going to be a great falling away before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And I know Christ is coming back soon. But I also know in the last days, God's going to pour his Spirit out on all flesh, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You and I, friend, need to be patient and wait on God for this. In fact, the closing verse of 1 Corinthians 15, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, or at the appointed time, we shall reap if we faint not. We need to be patient regarding our nation. You need to be patient regarding your families. Don't write them off in the name of Jesus, saying they're a lost hope, they're a lost cause. In fact, Raylene and I were talking about that regarding her cousin. She just didn't start sharing Jesus, and forgive me for using the example this morning. She just didn't start this past week. She has shared Jesus with her for years. But how grateful I'm sure Sharon is that you weren't weary in well-doing. Oh, that God would give us patience. But it's having this ability to wait upon God for his moving in every aspect of our lives and those around us. It's the ability also to wait upon others. Some people you just want to shake, amen? It's also the ability to wait upon God in the midst of difficulty. Life is hard. And if you're serving Jesus, life gets immeasurably harder. Why? Because Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. So the world is against you. That's why if you're serving Jesus, there are people who just don't like you at your job or in your neighborhood or maybe even in your family. They don't like you. Why? They don't know, but we know. It's because the world hates Jesus. And I'm not even talking about Satan. He hates you too, and he's actually the next point. We've already mentioned him, so we don't need to mention him. But the world hates you. And so you'll be persecuted for the cause of Christ. And so we need to be patient. And of course, we cannot grow in faith without patience. Last week, we talked about our need for patience. Number one, God moves in his own timeline, not our own. People move at their own pace, and people are, and I include, I'm part of the human race. People are as stubborn as mules, especially as it comes to the Christian faith and the moving of the Holy Spirit. They are not going to move any faster than they want to. Amen? So we need to be patient with them. And then, of course, we talked about how we need to be patient with ourselves. Amen? Don't give up on yourself. In fact, I think one of the greatest points that I brought out last week, or most important points, they're all, great as far as necessary and important. But as it speaks to us, we need to be patient with God's moving in our hearts and lives. Don't give up on yourself if you're not progressing in Jesus. But this morning, three quick things before we talk about growing in patience. Number one, there is eternal and spiritual, if not intangible, blessings when we allow patience to have its perfect work in our lives. It is worth allowing God to form patience within you, despite the fact you may not want it. I hope this isn't your mindset this morning. I am impatient, and that's the way I want it to be. I think there are people who are like that. In fact, society is, when I went through a series of impatient challenges these past 2 weeks. I had these shipments coming from my aunt's estate that I was waiting on, you know, some pictures and things and different personal items. And they were, you know, we looked at the tracking and they were promised to be here one day and it didn't come. Then another day, that didn't come. And then a second wave of packages actually came before the first wave of packages. And then my brother got his before I got mine. And I'm like, what is going on? Gotta be patient. It's one of those tests. But you know what I mean. We expect everything done now. In fact, let me ask you this morning, when you send a text this morning, when you send a text to someone, how soon do you expect a response? Your laughter gives me the answer. But let me tell you, you open the door to a wonderful place of blessing. And may I also say serenity and peace when you become a patient man or a patient woman. Patience is needed, in fact, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith, reading Romans chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. To those who by perseverance in doing good see glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But to those who are self-serving and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, He will give wrath and indignation. There's a chilling verse in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the words are this: many are called, but few are chosen. Let me tell you, there have been many people who responded to the saving message of Jesus Christ, in that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household will be saved. It might have been in a church service like this, or a Billy Graham crusade, or watching Christian television, or just having coffee with a friend, and they feel the call of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their lives to confess their sin and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And they were definitely called, and they make an initial response to knowing Jesus. But you know them just as well as I do. Many of those people quickly fall away, quickly fall back into their own way of living. Some people, a mere hours after they make that initial commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, for some a few days, some a few weeks, some a few years, but then inevitably fall back into their old way of living. But most importantly, fall out of their faith, their belief, and trust in Jesus. By grace you are saved through faith. And why is it? It's because their saving faith lacks a very, very important quality, a necessary quality in order for their faith to endure. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That being patience. Now that I've accepted Jesus, and of course, receiving Jesus Christ by faith, inherently, if someone is truly responding to the moving of the Holy Spirit, requires that we repent of our sin. We're not saved through repentance, but we demonstrate our faith by turning away from our sin and beginning to serve Jesus Christ with all of our hearts and souls and being. But for some people, that's hard. When they accept Jesus Christ by faith, they're like, oh, this is wonderful. I feel so good inside. I feel so clean. And all of a sudden, either through the conviction of the Holy Spirit or through reading and studying the Word of God, or perhaps through the kind, godly counsel of friends, they realize that if they're going to be people of faith, they've got to live by faith. And so the way that they used to live, they can't live anymore. I can't be a drunkard anymore. I can't tell unclean stories anymore. I can't watch the things I used to watch. I can't speak the way I used to speak. I can't go to different places. Wait a minute. This isn't what I signed up for. These things I enjoy with my life. I like carousing with my friends. I like being able to tell a lie when it gets me out of a jam or when it's convenient. And so rather than persist in the faith, they give up. God, help us. And may God grant a greater anointing as the Holy Spirit moves upon lost people, that they come to the point of brokenness where they're willing to do anything and give up anything, pursuit of any ambition. You know, there are other things as well, the pursuit of money and fame and power above God. Where they're willing to give up anything to know and serve Jesus. Patience and perseverance. For some, it's a completely different reason why they stop serving God. They have no problem giving up a life of sin. They may not have been, you know, sinner. You know, we're all sinners, but, you know, deep sinners. They were nice people. They never swore and whatnot. But Paul himself said, through many hardships, people find the kingdom of God. And for some, difficulty. You know, some people have a pie-in-the-sky mentality as it relates to knowing Jesus. Once you know Jesus, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Your life is going to be great. And it is going to be great. But as far as difficulty, hardship, persecution, not only will that come your way, you're going to experience things you never experienced before. You know, back in the day, maybe because we don't roll anymore, we're not called that, but, you know, people who were especially Pentecostal people were called holy rollers. The church my mom grew up in was on Spring Street in Taunton, Massachusetts, and they were all known as the Spring Street Stompers. they were peculiar, and they're almost all gone. The people who went there, we had my aunt's funeral, but you know, you experience ridicule, rejection. And then for those who think, well, if I'm a Christian, you know, God should bless me and nothing ever wrong should go on in my life. It doesn't work that way. In fact, some things are purposely allowed by God in your life so that you will grow in faith. In fact, you grow in patience. If you're not willing to wait on God and be patient through trial and difficulty, that's why many people give up. And don't last in faith for very long. And in fact, and this especially offends me, hurts me because I'm a pastor. But some people give up on serving Jesus because other people who are serving Jesus aren't perfect. Revelation this morning, I haven't quite yet reached godly perfection. I'm kind of 99.9% there. Why are you laughing this morning? Really, you can go now. None of us are perfect. And at some point, if you haven't already, You're going to cross swords. I hope not swords. But you're going to have a disagreement. You're not going to see eye to eye. You're going to catch a brother or a sister on a bad day. And too often, people kind of know Jesus almost vicariously through through God's people and view God's people through kind of rose-colored glasses, expecting them to be perfect, especially new people in Christ. And I'm not giving an excuse for people to strive to be less than who you can be in Jesus. We should strive to be the most that we can be. But one of the challenges that new believers, all believers, face, in fact, I find even people who have been serving God for a long time struggle with this. And if at the worst they haven't given up or attempted to give up on faith, they're tempted to give up on the Christian church. But they see the imperfection of those that they expect to be perfect. And a woman of God shouldn't act that way. Shouldn't speak that way. They shouldn't go to these places or do this particular thing. And you know, we all kind of have our own understanding of righteousness. I'm not talking about those things clearly laid out in Scripture, but some of the things in our society today. Of course, you know, we need to be very careful. And so because their faith is based more on the faith of another individual who trusts Jesus rather than Jesus themselves, they get disillusioned with the Christian faith and they give up. In fact, for new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think one of the things that needs to be maybe not less than number one, but in the top five, is making sure your faith is in Jesus and Jesus alone. And you fully understand all the difficulties that you're going to go through as you live for the Lord Jesus Christ so that they don't take you by surprise. Also stressing the importance of holding true to Jesus through difficulties or through the duplicity of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ or other things. Because your soul is worth it. Don't let hardship, difficulty, or the pleasures of sin that last only for a season erode, take away your faith. Patience is needed to know Jesus, to have that saving faith. Patience is also necessary. We kind of talked about this last week, but it's important to just drive this point home. If we're going to be fruitful for Jesus, God wants all of us to be productive for the kingdom. Amen? Let me use this word to describe Christian productivity. That sounds almost like we're, you know, workers in a factory, and we're so much more than that. God wants us to understand that you and I, as far as the kingdom of God, have more than just the privilege of eternal life. Now, eternal life is great, and it's more than enough of a reason to want to develop patience, because we don't want anything to happen to our eternal life. Amen? We want that to be ensured. But God also has purpose for each and every one of us. You know, the Bible talks about it, and we're going to allude to it later on and probably next week. I don't think I'm going to get through the end of this sermon this week, so it's going to be a three-parter. But God wants us to know that when we get to heaven, it's not just going to be, hey, we're glad you're here, although it will be. It'll be a wonderful time, you know, no tears, no parting, and all of that's wonderful. We'll see all of our loved ones who have gone before us in the faith. But Scripture also teaches us that we're going to be judged and receive rewards for the eternal things that we have done for the kingdom of God. And every one of us in this room are eligible to receive those rewards. Not that the rewards in themselves are great. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of gold and precious stones and you know, the gates of pearl. You know, there's all those beautiful things that are up in heaven. But, you know, I'm not really concerned with those things. You know, gold, well, you know, what's gold in comparison with Jesus? And, of course, the thing, it's like that wonderful song. I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, I see Abraham and Moses and Paul, but I want to see Jesus. You all know it. Well, some of you know that old Southern Gospel song. Jesus is the most important thing. But the precious thing about the rewards, or the aspect of rewards, is when we get to heaven, God is going to acknowledge that you and I, who have been faithful in serving God, have contributed to eternity. We have been God's vessels. And in such, since we've been yielded to God and have allowed God to work and move through us, not so much, and buildings are great, not so much to build buildings or those type of thing, but to bring people to Jesus and to encourage people in their faith, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice. And even though it's all God, and to God be the glory, we're going to share in that glory if we've been faithful, and God's going to give us those crowns, that gold, silver, precious stones. And it will be so wonderful to say our lives weren't just redeemed. They had eternal purpose for the kingdom of God. It's not going to be a boasting thing where we can go around and look how wonderful I was. It'll just be an eternal avenue of God's blessing on our lives, that we were able to be used by Him for God's kingdom. And I believe, as Scripture teaches from the book of Revelation, that the crowns of rewards that we will receive, we'll take them off and we'll be able to lay them at the feet of Jesus. What a wonderful day that will be. But having said that, there'll be little or no crown, little or no reward to the impatient believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were unwilling to wait upon God and wait upon others as they have sought to build the kingdom of God. God! I've been teaching this class, or I've been witnessing to my family, my friends, my co-workers, or I've been involved in this ministry and that ministry, and nothing's been happening. In fact, in some instances, not only has nothing happened, sometimes as it relates to the natural, whether it be attendance or participation or enthusiasm, things actually regress. Let me tell you what I have found regarding ministry. I thought when I got out of Bible study, I've used this illustration before, ministry would be like this. It would be like, and picture yourself, I'll do it your way, a graph. You know, and the graph, you know, kind of like business with profits, you expect it just to go on and up and up. and ever increasing. And, you know, pretty soon our church will be bigger than the city of Norwich itself. But this is the reality of ministry. And of course, I was in math and engineering for a while, and so sometimes I think in those terms. It's not a bar graph where it's ever, you know, it's not that graph where everything always increases, and it's not one that always decreases. I think a bit more of a sine wave, which is something like this. Hills and valleys. And those of you in mathematics, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I've seen in every church I've been in, and those of you who've been here for many years have seen it here, where enthusiasm and attendance, ministry's been up, and then all of a sudden it's down, and then it's up again. And the thing that keeps you sane, you know, when it goes down, you know, when it's up, everyone's excited. You don't need much patience for that. Except when, you know, you try to get to the next level and you're kind of stuck. But the thing that keeps going, and this is why it's important, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, whatever ministry you're involved with, that you don't get your identity, your satisfaction, your reward, your self-worth from the results of what you are doing. It's hard, but from a pastoral perspective, we can't judge success or we can't find our self-worth or our validity is another word I'm looking for, but it escapes me this morning. We can't judge that by the number of people who are in the seats. If we would, and I think some ministers do, we'd quit over and over again. In fact, I remember in my last church, after I accepted the pastoral position here at this church, and I remember as I was still at the church, I think we stayed out the month several weeks before we came out here, and resumes from pastors started coming in. Well, I was still the pastor, so I looked at those resumes. Because I was concerned about that, my last church, and I was going to give them to the board. And I remember one fella, he was probably in three or four churches the last 3 or 4 years. And never stayed, I think one church he might have stayed longer than a year. And my question is and I didn't know for sure, I didn't interview him, and I certainly pointed that out to my church board. I said, you want to be careful because, you know, this person moves along, seems to not be happy. Impatience with the move and the working of God through his ministry. If we're going to see fruit, you know, I would love to have tomatoes in May. But unless I start them in February, it ain't going to happen. Living things take time, and spiritually living things also take time. And if you don't have patience, your life will not be fruitful as it relates to winning people to Jesus and encouraging people in their faith. We need to be patient. But that also, when we speak of fruitfulness, that not only relates to ministry and what we do for the kingdom, but it also relates to what the kingdom or what the Lord Jesus Christ does within us. This is alluding to last week's message as far as being patient with ourselves. Let me tell you, all of these things that we are talking about, and I can't, the word that comes to mind right now as I'm sharing this message, all these wonderful qualities of faith, righteousness, patience, self-control. These things are forged within us. How many have ever, you know, you've gone to like Sturbridge Village or Mystic, and you've seen the blacksmith do his job. Boy, that looks like an easy job, doesn't it? There's a show Raylene and I will watch sometimes. It's these guys who make knives, and they throw them all together, and they got to pound out these knives in 3 hours. A lot of work in doing that. And I can't think of a more apropos illustration as far as God developing Christian character. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. And God uses a variety of things. Of course, His Holy Spirit. Of course, His precious Word. But also interactions with others. Seeing others and what they go through, how they go through it. And also going through the school of hard knocks, going through difficulties as well. In fact, I'm sure I would see hands shoot up all over this congregation this morning if I asked the question, how many came through a time of difficulty, either more patient or more loving or more empathetic, a better person, a better Christian man or woman after you went through that time of difficulty than before? I certainly have. There is a blessing in patience, a blessing of faith, the blessing of fruitfulness, and the blessing of Christian maturity, becoming more of who you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without saying, patient people are happier people because they have learned how to joyfully wait for things, which is what we're going to talk about next week. Would you stand with me this morning? And in closing, next week, we're going to talk about how we can grow in patience. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But let me say this about anything that God wants to form within us. Don't just have the mentality, oh, I'm just going to let God do. And God will do. God gives us everything we need. But we do have to work at it. Don't kid yourself. Two quick scriptures that bear this out. And I end with this point this morning as far as, are we willing to work with God in forming patience within us? Your works matter to God. Amen? Amen. Faith without works is dead. We're saved by grace through faith. But the way we demonstrate our faith is by our works. And one of the works that God expects us to allow His Holy Spirit to form within us is that of patience, of working towards being a more patient person. And there are things that we can do to create an environment within our heart, allow the Holy Spirit to bring us to deeper levels of patience than we already are in. In fact, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, not only are works expected, your reward in heaven will be based on your works. Faith gets you the ticket to get through the door. But reward comes through works. What does your life say about your works for the kingdom of God? Are you expecting a reward? Or are you hoping that there's at least something there so that you won't have to hold your head in shame for those brief few moments? that you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's sing together this morning as we prepare to close the message in a word of prayer.